primary parshiyos about tefila, lach lecha, say vayera, chayesara, vayetze. Of course, vayetze has a lot of tefilos, Yaakov's tefilos, the tefilos of the imos, and the names of the children. Thank you, Rafi. So this is the first tefilos kineged avos tikva. Avram Davins. Anyone have the Tanakh here? I don't see anything. Is there a Tanakh there? Thank you. Perfect timing. Thank you, Rafi. Okay. Perfect timing. Avram Davins, and I want to read the pasuk for you because the location of the pasuk and the language of the pasuk is really crucial. And this is a really, really good hint for davening. I didn't say it last week. I think Rav Amichai more or less said it. But I've offered this advice literally for about 15 to 20 years. And I think that at least initially people found it very helpful. So see if this can work for you. Avram davens for a stone. He fails. The next day, Vayashkim Avram Babokri, he wakes up early. We'll talk a little bit later in the week about waking up early. El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham Espinei Hashem. El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham Espinei Hashem. Chazal Darshan in the Gemara and Brachos, Chavav and Rebeis, Ein Amida El Lashon Tefillah. Now this is the seminal moment of tefillah. This is the first official tefillah. We've seen Noach's tefillah, his failure to daven. We've seen Yehagar's tefillah. We've seen Avram's tefillah for the future. But this is it. This is the breakthrough. This is the inauguration. Very strange word. El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham. That's the verb the Torah employs to describe the first tefillah. El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham. We may move our shiurim. I think we're going to finish this and maybe look for shiurim because I don't want to have to compete with this. So we'll just finish this shiur, and then we'll move a little bit for the Gemara shiur. Why does the Torah describe the first tefillah with the word Amad? The answer is as follows. At the core of tefillah, the baseline of tefillah is about standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you're not saying anything. This is not a verbal verb. This is not a verb like Vayidaber, Vayomer, Vayispalel, Vayagid. This is not a verb that describes any words. In fact, if you're honest, there's really nothing for Avram to daven for this day. People mistake this pasuk as if this is Avram davening for a stone. This is not the pasuk of Avram davening for a stone. I'm sure he davened, but we don't have a pasuk describing that tefillah. We have the pasuk describing the negotiations. This is Avram waking up the day after. He wakes up the day after a stone is incinerated, nuclear winter, Vayashkim Avram Maboker, El Hamokom Asher Amad Sham Espinei Hashem, Vayashkeif Al Panei Stom, Vamara, Al Panei Kol Eretz HaKikar, Vayar, Vihine, Ala Kita Haaretz Kikita Rakivshan. He sees smoke, he sees billowing flumes of smoke. So this is the day after Stom is destroyed. What is he davening for? Now I'm sure he had other things to daven for. He's probably sad that Stom was destroyed, that his attempts had failed, that people had lost their lives. I'm sure he had other issues to daven for. But in the context of this story, there's nothing heroic or dramatic to daven for. That happened the day before. Yesterday was drama. Yesterday he had a lot to daven for, hundreds of thousands of lives. The next day, relative to the previous day, there's less to daven for. And that's why the Torah doesn't really care about, quote-unquote, what the content of his davening is. It just cares about the fact that he's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah at its core is space, is rendezvous. We're standing three times a day in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here are my two hints. One I've told you before, and one I'll repeat. The best way that I found to start rebuilding tefillah and kavanah is not through another sefer and not through knowing the words even. I found sometimes that could be distracting. The best way is to try as best as you can to maintain that awareness that you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because your mind tends to run and to fly and to wander. And sometimes the kavanah doesn't defeat that, because kavanah is just another idea to think about, and then you move from one idea to another idea. But you lose the sense, you end up davening to ideas rather than davening to Hashem. You end up davening about thoughts, where your head is, rather than standing. And I think, and I'll say this and I'll prove it to you, that it pays for a while to work on that, even at the cost of kavanah. Even if you stop thinking about what you're saying, what the words mean, and you just ramble the words or mumble the words, but those words are a sense, I'm talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and whatever I do or don't understand, I do or don't understand, but rather than getting so engrossed, I always think that the Shema is the classic fail. So some people have so many kavanas during Shema. 7, 1, 4, ayin, dalet, Shema, here, there, that they lose the baseline. Kabbalah Shema Chushamayim. They think about math equations. of how to compute different gematriot, rather than saying, I'm a Kabbalah Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malchus. Hashem is a God, just to be more simple, just to be more plain. My favorite pet peeve is, I don't know if this still happens, but in the old days, when I would give a boy, he said, I'd say, translate Shema for me. So a boy would say, Hear, O Israel. I said, why don't I become Irish? Hear, O Israel. Like those old formals. So just try to get, even trying to get that out of your mind, the Hear, O Israel line. It's like a Hear, O Israel. Like, when do we all become Irish? The O Israel people. So try to get down to the core. So the core is Elamokam Mishra Amad. It's the verb. The verb is Amida. And it's the setting. That's why the Torah highlights the day after the davening and the day before, because the Torah wants to direct us away from content and more towards space. Both days, Avram had content. But clearly, the day before, the content was primary. The day after, the content was ancillary, was secondary. But it's standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what the Torah wants to highlight. Try as best you can. Try to... I know my mind was, I'm standing in front of Malach Machem, I'm standing in front of the Shechina, I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch. I think Rav Amichai was trying to capture that when he told us last week to say Hashem's name with Kavanah. Now, it's a very heretical concept to ignore the words and think about HaKadosh Baruch, but I think that's what Rav Eliezer ben Hurkan has told in his Talmidim. The Gemara in Brachos and Chafes describes the Talmidim visiting Rav Eliezer ben Hurkan as he's about to die. Now, this is a very sad and tragic moment. Why? Because Rav Eliezer ben Hurkan is put in Cherem. He was the same Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus of the Tanur of Achnai. He was the one that argued on the Chachamim. He refused to budge. He was put into Cherem. So for a good portion of his life, he was the God of Ador, but you couldn't learn with him. Cherem didn't just mean, you're in Cherem. Cherem meant you can't talk to him. So basically, until he dies, he's got all this Torah to teach, and it's never shared because he's in Cherem. And now, before he dies, the Gemara says they release the Cherem. So this is not just Talmidim saying goodbye to their Rebbe. This is Talmidim reunion with their Rebbe and finally hearing somebody before he passes from this world. And in his last couple statements, Brachos Chavchas on the days, he talks about learning Tanakh, Menu Benecha, Menu Goyon, and just a couple of little bits of advice. And the final advice he delivers to his Talmidim, which is literally based on this pasuk, Uchshatem Mispalim, it's a very famous Gemara. It doesn't say have kavana. It doesn't say think about the word. It doesn't say think. It says de'u lifnei mi'atem amdim. De'u lifnei mi'atem amdim. Just try to. De'u lifnei. Rebbe, we know that. Give me a pshat on Az Yashir. Give me a pshat on Avarabba. Give me a pshat on Lushalayim Yircha. He doesn't give any pshat on any words. He says just try to stand in front of a Kaddish Baruch. Try to think about a Kaddish Baruch. Try to just imagine yourself in front of the Kisya Kavod. It's really basic, but it's very grounding. And certainly if you're looking for moments to just re-establish that connection and that space interaction, it's very helpful. And it's also helpful because of that, I've got my 5 rules for davening, not all of which I keep all the time, but I try to, but because I can't control my mind and I can't control my kavana, my mind wanders and I'm exhausted and I'm thinking, at the least I'm thinking about a sugya, at worst I'm thinking about other things, and it's just, I try my hardest, and sometimes I'm more successful, sometimes I'm not. But it's hard for me to control, because it's hard to control your mind. It takes a lot of discipline to control your mind and its thinking. As you grow older, it becomes easier. You're more in touch with yourself. You're more self-aware. But I think there are some tips that can make that standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu more realistic. I try to get it there early. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I don't leave shul before it's over, because I'm standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even when I'm not davening. My kids know that I have a joke with them. They have to stay even for the announcements. Because that's when you all decide collectively not to stand in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The announcements may be a little bit extreme, but you guys know as well as I do, there are people who are chronic, truncated, accelerated davening finishers. They're always in the back, taking off their tefillin during Oz Yashir, during Avot Zion or Aleinu. Not really. And again, sometimes you have to, but you shouldn't find yourself in that minimum. Sometimes here and there you've got to. But if you wait until the end and you take your tefillin off after the last Kaddish, that's okay. We've stopped speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we take our tefillin off rather than while I'm speaking. I think the bookends are helpful. I think having a clean space. I'll talk about space tomorrow in Makom Kavua, because that's a shiur unto its own. And Avram is known for Makom Kavua and how it affects yeshiva davening and davening for the rest of your life. But I'll talk about that tomorrow. I try to clean my space, especially during Shacharis. During Mincha, I don't mind having a messy space, because I think it's part of Mincha. Part of Mincha's basada, part of your day, part of your experience. Marv as well, but I think at least during Shacharis, I try to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a clean space. I try to tuck myself in. Normally I'm tucked in, but to make sure that my clothing is appropriate. And I try to stand. Again, I don't really, I don't know how this, how it manifests itself. I don't know if my children, like we have movie chair type seats in the Yishuv Shul. It's very easy, like to lean back or to lean forward or to slouch. If you're really standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you stand with respect. And I think those aspects you can control. But what happens in your mind you can control. What happens in your environment and in your body, external world, you can control. And hopefully that will impact the mind. So maybe try today, Mincha. Maybe walk away a little bit. Walk back from the content. And just try, I'm standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm standing in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then that can serve as a platform for healthier tefillah. Okay, so tomorrow we'll talk about the Gemara in Brachos that attributes Makom Kavua to Avram Ela Makom Eshram Macham and how this interacts with Avram's Tefillah. Okay, today we're going to cover a range of interesting topics, a bit of a smorgasbord today in Bava Basra. We're going to talk about making a chazaka through renters. We'll talk about the Rashba, what are the Edim testifying about in chazaka. We'll speak about Shutafim, not so much about Shutafim because that's really a Sugya Membeis and Membeis. But the question, which the Rishonim ask about Shutafim, leads us to some very interesting comments about Cheskes Gimel Shanim. If we have time, we'll talk about Ishtar Edita. We may not have time. Pick it up tomorrow. Mirtz Hashem, starting Wednesday, we're going to hit probably the most central sugya of the entire Bava Basra Cheskes Habatim, the famous sugya of Shchune Gavoy. Shchune Gavoy, where the Ma'ara was in the back room, and that's where it was at Mocha. Real core question of Cheskes Gimel Shanim. Mirtz Hashem will try to tackle that Wednesday and Thursday. Okay, where are we at? Let's just review. Okay, this is a very